All right, stop it. Man, thank you. Pastor, thank you for letting me stand here. Ha, oh, that was not nice. I was ready to come up and be funny. I'm actually very excited about the conversation today because we, as Pastor Ann said, we are continuing in our Words of Worship series, and so I'm very excited about what's coming. We're specifically talking throughout this entire series of worship as our anchor. Now, Pastor David introduced this concept last week that Christ is our anchor beyond the veil. Christ went before us as a forerunner into eternity. All right, so he went before us into this resurrected life, into this eternal life, and said, I'm going into the king's domain, but I'm going to anchor you to the king's domain on that side of eternity. And if you remain anchored to me and hold steadfast to me, you can bring the king's domain into this earthly domain. As in heaven, so on earth. Right, so we remain anchored to him, but there's a way that we do it. We do it through our worship. So last week, Pastor David talked about this idea of worship as a community. It's something that anchors us to the community, or can I say to the body of Christ. And then today we're going to be talking about worship as our victory. Next week, I believe it's Pastor Aaron's going to be talking about worship to anchor us to the holiness of God. Because what he says is, be holy as I am holy. So worship allows us to reset the scales so that we can be holy as he is holy, and anchor his domain into our domain, right? So we're just going to keep having this conversation, and every one of these builds on top of each other. I am so excited to bring anchor worship as our victory. But let's pray together real fast. Jesus, we give you this time. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place. Father, we ask that you would touch lives, move hearts. Let your word move us today. Let us not be moved by anything else, but let us be moved by your word and anchored by our worship. We ask that you would have your way in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen. So today specifically, we're going to be talking about that song. We just sang it a few moments ago, and I'm going to give you a hint. We're going to sing it at the end of this. All right? So we're going to be talking about worship as our anchor, specifically the song Battle Belongs. This song's by Phil Wickham. And you're familiar with them because you just sang the words. But so when I fight on my knees, right? I'll sing through the night. The battle belongs to you. So Phil Wickham in this song, is it up there? Fantastic. In this, Phil Wickham was asked about how he wrote this song and what kind of his inspiration was for this song. And he said specifically it was the story of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles. And we're just going to take our whole time and sit in that. How many are familiar with Jehoshaphat sending the worshipers out in front of the army? All right, so for some of you, this is a new story. For some of you, this is a familiar story. But what I'm hoping is for all of us, we get a new battle plan. Because stuff comes at you. Yes. How many have experienced stuff coming at you? All right, so hopefully we have a battle plan to make that happen. Now, I might be funny a little bit. I have no idea. Chances are, though, I'm going to just be passionate today. Are we cool with passion? Yes. I promise not just to yell at you and you need to get rescued and saved, and it's not going to be that. All right? In this story, Jehoshaphat sends worshipers out in front of the army. But we're just going to go through it verse by verse because I think there's some key tactics that we need to know going into it and key revelation. So it's going to seem like a lot of scripture. Is everybody okay with a lot of Bible? Yes. Oh, good, because guess what? That's where we're going, all right? So in 2 Chronicles, it says, after this, the Moabites and the Ammonites were coming, and the Meunites were coming to wage war against Jehoshaphat and the kingdoms. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, dude, a vast army is coming against us. Now, what we need to know is at this point, Israel had conquered the people of Canaan. They had knocked out the do you call them Jerichoites? Why not? Let's call them Jerichoites. They knocked out all these other people, and there was rest in the land, but these were armies they weren't expecting, because back in Abraham, how many remember Father Abraham, right, who founded the nation of Israel and his seed line? So these were friends of Abraham. So nobody expected Moab and Ammon and those tribes to come against. So this was a surprise. So you kind of need to know that to set this up. But some people came and they're like, King Jehoshaphat, you don't know what's going on here. A vast army's coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. The other thing we need to know is that's a surprise attack. They weren't coming from the top or from the bottom as normal invaders would do. They were coming in from a surprise so that by the time they were close enough, there was nothing Israel could do. It was that fast. All right, so in verse 3, it says, alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast. So, that word alarmed, how many of us have had something come at us that has rocked our world? Yes. Have you had something that's alarmed you? An unplanned crisis, right? What I love is the immediate juxtaposition of these two words. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. So the first thing, and this is our big point today, okay? I'm going to have everybody read it too out loud. And I'm probably going to say it 1,200 times. Well, 36. We're going for 36 times. Here is what we have to know. When it comes to worship as our victory, we have to resolve to respond with worship in every situation. So again, that verse 3, alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved. So that word resolved means to fix oneself, to put an anchor point in. So he resolved, even though he was alarmed, because human emotions and human crises come up, and our response is usually fight or flight. Ah, something's happening, right? That's usually our response. But if we resolve ourselves ahead of time, everybody say ahead of time. If we resolve ourselves ahead of time, then no matter what's coming at us from either side or from the surprised, if I am anchored, even when I get alarmed, I am resolved to respond with worship. Everybody say that phrase with me. Resolve to respond with worship. One more time. Resolve to respond with worship. And I should probably say this real fast. So I do a lot of keynotes, and one of the things I have to do in keynotes, because usually I'm putting a call to action at the end, where I'm like, hey, I want you to buy my products or buy my stuff. Yeah. So usually I'm getting people to nod all throughout, and I'm getting people to talk with me all throughout, because I don't view this as a one-way monologue. Yeah. We're all having a conversation today, church. Yeah. All right, so I'm going to ask for quite a bit of participation. So everybody go, me, I'm ready. All right, no, just kidding. Another thing we have to do here is we have to decide on what we're using as the term worship. Because worship means many things to many people. I was talking with Tony Galloway just the other day. Their community group, or we call them nav groups, but their community group, that's how you might know them, is they were discussing specifically how do we define worship. So just real fast, shout out some ideas. How do we define worship? Singing. Song. What? Giving. What else? Praying.
Intimacy.
Into me you see. Come on.
Lifestyle.
Lifestyle. So this is something Tony brought up to his community group. Worship is giving worth.
Yes.
Where it's due. All right? And that's a definition that we've had kind of in our community for 4 decades now, Tony. Stop yourself. For 4 decades, that worship is worth-ship. Where do we give the ultimate worth? No, I'm asking. Remember, this is conversation. Where do we give the ultimate worth? God, right? What happens when I begin to worth that item I want, that car I want, that woman I want, that, you know? And I begin to worth other things more than I worth God. Because something's going to get your worship. Jesus even said you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot give worth to two things. I'm very sorry. We are an on-off person, right? We can't give all this worth to all these other things and expect to still be anchored. Because when I unmoor myself and I begin to just drift toward this and I set my sails toward that, and all of a sudden I'm way off course. I'm no longer anchored, and I am adrift, and I am ready to be part of the waves of life. Sometimes the destructive waves of life. So in order to anchor myself, I have to give my worth to something greater than me, something greater than time itself, something greater than all else of creation, other than creation, right? So I have to worship God. So when we say the phrase, resolve to respond with worship in every situation, that means nothing upsets the scales.
That's good. That's it.
I resolve that I will keep this thing balanced, and I will keep God where he belongs on his throne in my heart.
Yes.
Worship. Everybody say that with me. So we want to resolve to respond with worship in every situation. Then we move on to verse 4. Jehoshaphat, he calls together all the people. He called a fast because he said, you're going to worth God more than you worth food. Because we got a problem to solve. You're going to worth God more than you worth your comfort. So all the people came together, the people of Judah, they came to seek the Lord from every town. And then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the courtyard. Before I say this next point, I got to get water. We doing all right? Is everybody okay? Camera, are you okay if the water is right there? Fantastic. So, something we need to see here is immediately Jehoshaphat called together all the people, because one of the best things you can do when something begins to upset your scales and upset your ballast, anchor to community.
Amen.
Pastor David talked about this all last week. So you can see he brought together all the people and he said, we have to resolve as a people to respond with worship. And it continues in verse 6 that he said, the Lord, they went up and they were like, Lord, God of our ancestors, are you not the God who's in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand. No one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants? Listen to what Jehoshaphat is doing here. This is what Pastor David talked about last week. When you anchor to community, you also anchor to history. Because the body has lasted, the body of Christ has lasted well beyond my 70 plus years on this earth. Right? And so when we tell ourselves we don't need the body, what we're saying is, Jesus, what you put in place 2 millennia ago, I'm better than in my short-term experience. I don't want to make it uncomfortable. I said I wasn't going to yell. But when we anchor to that, all of a sudden, the songs of the tribe start re-anchoring us to the people that were around, and all of a sudden we're singing songs like, you are the same God.
Yeah.
Remember, we did that last week.
Yeah.
I'm calling on the God of Jacob and of Moses who made the Red Sea open. For those of you who got it. Calling on the God of Mary. Calling on the God of David. Guess what? Some of us might be facing giants. Right, but when we anchor to community, what we're saying is, I'm anchoring to the same God who helped them because he's eternal. And when worship becomes part of putting me in the body of Christ and anchoring to that and anchoring to my tribe, anchoring to the same songs that we've sung, anchoring to, I love that Pastor Aaron saying, I surrender all. I don't think we do enough hymns. By the way, soapbox from a worship leader. I went to put a song on the set not long ago from the mid-90s. What? That's such an old song. That's old revelation. Really? Amazing Grace? From 500 years ago? Right? Because they anchor me to the same God, the same community of the body of believers who forever have dealt with the same stuff. Humanity only deals with one of four problems. You ready for them? Something spiritual, something physical, something relational, or something financial. That's it. That's why digital marketers are always like, hey, the only three things you want to talk about are health, wealth, and relationships. Health, wealth, and relationships. Because we know humanity has made, they're denying the spiritual side of that in their digital marketing. But for us, it's only one of four things. And the enemy knows. Whoa!
Yes.
Same toolbox. He has had thousands of years to perfect cognitive behavioral studies on humanity. And we think for a second that our 10 years of pop psychology are going to reverse what the enemy has known for thousands of years. Spiritual, physical, relational, and professional. And if I can upset their comfort and I can say, oh no, I need to give more weight, more worth to my creature comforts. If they'll just shift their worth-ship enough, then I can take them out. Because they like the creature comforts and they like a lot of them, so give them all. It's only ever the same four zones that you will be attacked, north, south, east, or west, spiritual, physical, relational, and professional, every time. And when we learn that, then we can be prepared whether or not it's coming over the Dead Sea. So we have to anchor to community, all right? And that's where we sing that song, You Are the Same God. Next slide, please. It's important. So we're going to jump down to verse 9 here, all right? So the whole nation has come together and they're praying in the temple. I'm sure it was representatives of the whole nation. I'm sure it wasn't like, these guys are 25 miles away. Can you guys come for 15? We need to beat them by 10. I'm sure it wasn't that. I'm sure there were representatives, all right? But in verse 9, it says, they began to pray and they sought the Lord and they said, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand. Listen to how they resolve to respond with worship. We will stand in the presence before this temple that bears your name with the people who bear your name. And we will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us from heaven. So there's four things that are happening in this verse. Here's typically what can occur. Calamity. How many have experienced some kind of calamity, right? The sword of judgment. Let's just put them out as bullet points here. It can be calamity. It can be the sword of judgment. It can be plague, or it can be famine. These are things that we can mostly prepare for. But one of the big keys that this verse is really revealing to us is we simply have to know what the battle is. Now, I know I'm throwing a lot at you guys, and just so you all know, a lot of these notes are available for you in your... in that one-stop shop for everything you need navigation-related. All right? Here's the thing. By knowing what the battle is, we can be prepared. So if we know that typically it's spiritual, physical, relational, and professional... if we know that that's usually what it's going to be, we can prepare for it. But here's what often happens. We get sideswiped by our own poor choices. Because some of our battles, we pick them. Some people have to create crisis to feel normal. Right? That one landed more than I thought it was. Some people have to create crisis to feel normal. Some people, thank God, I have not had to eat the fruit of some of my stupid decisions. Like, I've literally been like, God, if that could be thorny ground and you just eat up that stupid decision, that'd be fantastic. Like, just choke that one out. We don't need any, I don't need 30, 60, or 100-fold from that particular choice. So sometimes it's our poor decision. Sometimes we put ourselves on a path. Sometimes we flat out steer into the wall in our lives because we've made a decision to do something stupid. It happens. All right? Because we're human and we're imperfect and it's okay. Yes, yes. Right? As long as when that happens, I don't let go and drift. If when I make a stupid decision, I'm immediately reaching for the lifeline to re-anchor myself, that's different. Because we will all make mistakes. We will all fall short of the glory of God. All the time. Not every time. All the time. Right? Sometimes we choose the crisis. Sometimes we pick a fight with stuff we shouldn't be picking a fight with. Sometimes we've inherited a fight through our family, through the generational line. Some of us might call them curses, right? Some of us might call them genetics. Not saying anything. But nonetheless, it is my job to be holy as he is holy, so I have to clear my terrain. And I have to constantly work on defeating certain enemies in my life. All right? So sometimes it's us, but sometimes the battle chooses you. So we got to know what the battle is. But regardless, we will stand in your presence, it says at the end of that verse. We will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name, and we will cry out to you in our distress. Whether we've created the drama or whether the drama has come after us, we can still respond and resolve to respond with worship in every situation. Amen? So here's what's happened. Sometimes we choose it. Other times it's an unplanned, unforeseen enemy. All right? And this is where he says, now there's these people from Ammon. They're coming against us. Mount Seir, they're coming against us. All of this. See how they're repaying us. Our God, will you not judge them? I'm just going to keep moving forward. In this next verse here, in verse 12, at the very end of it, it says, for we have no power to face this vast army attacking us. We don't know what to do, yet our eyes are on you. Amen. Have you ever had something and you're like, oh, I got nothing. Right? The thing comes at you and you've got nothing. And you don't know how. You certainly don't know why. Because it's an unforeseen, unknown, unplanned enemy that's coming at you. And we feel powerless, that says. That's what the people said. God, we feel powerless against this overwhelming odds. I have felt powerless many times in my life. Where it's finally like, I'm at the end of this rope. Here's the amazing thing. There's one key word here. And I don't even know that we're going to get through this whole scripture today because I think this is what God wants you to know. It says, we do not know what to do yet. That is a huge word, and it's a word we need to use today. Because just because you don't know what to do yet doesn't mean you won't know what to do when you resolve to respond with worship. Too many people say, well, I don't know how to do this yet. Because one is final, and it's got a period point on it. The other is like, dot, dot, dot. The answer comes when we resolve to respond in worship. The answer comes spiritual, physical, relational, professional. The answer comes not when we come from a place of our finite mortality with a finite mindset saying this is a finite end to my problem. I guess all will be destroyed. We might as well end it now. Yet. That relationship isn't over yet. That situation you're in with your health, it's not over yet. Come on, church, help me out with this one, right? That story that you have of your boss that you hate, guess what? That story isn't over yet. The problem you have with your children, it's not over yet. What God wants us to understand is when he's involved, there is no period on this because there is always a yet. And sometimes it takes us getting to the end and feeling it and the worship that we resolve to send ourselves to is yet. When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. Because this is all I see. That's what we sing in this song, right, that we sung this morning. When all I see is a mountain, yet you see a mountain moved. If you are for me, who can be against me? Right? Yet I will seek you. Yet while I live, your praise will be on my lips. This is what scripture said. Go through and just do a word study on the word yet. Church, it's time that we start to get a little more yet. Right? Right now, where you are, I just want you to start thinking to yourself, what's the big issue going on in your world right now? Spiritual, physical, relational, professional. It's going to be under one of those. It could be a subcategory, right? It's in there. I said professional. I meant financial. Sorry. Includes professional. Think of the issue right now. What are the words you're using to describe it to other people? We have an incredible addiction. I'm going to use that word. As humans, we have an incredible addiction to complaining. Wow. I was just talking with somebody this week about it. He asked me how I'm doing. I said, I'm doing amazing. I pulled from Pastor Ron Habermill. I said, I'm blessed.
Yes.
And he was like, well, what's going on in your business? Well, I'm waiting on a couple of things. It's not all moving like I hold, one, like I would hope it to, yet. I have a lot of hope for what the next couple of quarters bring in my business. Yet, I remain steadfast and anchored. Yet. Because too many of us feel like, well, I can't share too much good unless I give you a little bad. Well, this is great and this is great, but I'm really thinking this might happen soon, right? How many of us have ever thought of the, God, you enjoyed that one. Was it the impression? No, I'm just kidding. How many of us have ever said or heard or thought something like, well, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop? That's a negative yet. All is going well, yet I'm sure calamity's coming. All seems to be moving in the right direction, yet this always ends up happening to me. Anchored to the wrong thing. Say that louder, Pastor Aaron. Anchored to the wrong thing. We're anchored to the wrong yet. But the people of God who are anchored to the eternal God who lives outside of time and lives outside of our 5-year struggle or our 10-year problem or our 2-decade issue, that God sees the yet on the other side of your hell. All right. I'm technically at time. Okay? I got a few more verses to go through. But I'm going to tell you the rest of the story. Because I think this is important. I don't think that the Spirit of God wants us to leave today without knowing the yet.
Amen.
So I want you to think of that thing in your life. What are the things you always say around it? It's always a struggle to blank. Boy, we always seem to be suffering with yada yada. Boy, this, it just seems like it never ends. What is the issue you're facing? And what are the things you say about it? Because if we don't begin to say a different thing, we will live out the same loop over and over and over again. And as people of faith anchored to worship, providing that God is above it all and he is the yet, that he is the almighty fortress who goes before us, nothing can stand against the power of our God. So here's what I want you to do. Just take a moment and start to consider that. Now the rest of the story is this. Jehoshaphat gets the people together. A Levite comes in. Nikki, don't even worry about the slides. We're done. I was like, just follow me. And she's like, I don't know where he's going now. Here's the deal. A Levite comes in, the people are seeking the Lord, and one of the priests comes in, and he's like, here's what the Lord says. He says, stand firm, take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance of the Lord. So the battle tactic is this. You still have to take up your position. Right? He promised the victory. He's like, you aren't even going to have to fight this battle. This is what the priest said to them. Go out and worship. You aren't even going to have to fight this battle. But he still said, tomorrow morning, I need you to go out, take up the position, stand firm, and then see the deliverance. So there is still something we got to do. Too many times we don't take the position of righteousness. We don't take the position of holiness. I know, I'll be honest with y'all. I know exactly how to budget my money. Do I take up the position every month?
No,
I don't. Should I be better about it? 100%. Right? I don't take up the battle. I don't take the position when it comes to, I want a healthy lifestyle from now until the time I'm 85. I don't always make the choices that are healthy. I don't take up my position. Right? So when the things come at me, and I'm like, oh, that's a crisis coming at me. I'm like, never mind. I didn't take up my position. So many things in our lives, church, if we would just take our position and stand firm. Now, I want to be very clear right now. I'm not talking about people heckling you on Facebook because you posted a stupid political meme. Can I just say it? If somebody's coming at you because you posted you know, blue, red, whatever. And you're like, oh my God, I'm suffering for the Lord. Shut up. Not everything that I say today is endorsed by Navigation Church or its affiliates.
That one is.
Okay. All right. Here's the deal. That isn't standing up for righteousness. Now, there are things we need to stand for that have a political bent, okay? All right? Standing up for righteousness is the encroachment of the enemy into every sphere. Don't read that as who you vote for. Okay? What I'm talking about is when the enemy is coming against your family, when the enemy is coming against you spiritually, when the enemy is coming against you and you can feel the actual, I stood for righteousness and the stones came my way. That's the battles. And I know you can't holistically cover a subject like this in 40 minutes. But we still have to take up our positions. You got to worship up. Be worshiped up. Can we say it that way? Worshiped up. Fill that tank with worship before the battle. Then you take up your position, and guess what happens during the battle? Stand firm. So you got to anchor with worship before the battle, which they did. You see in Jehoshaphat's people, they praised the Lord in the temple. Then that next morning they went out. Then Jehoshaphat sent worshipers out. They went in front of the armies. They all took up their positions. They stood firm and they began to say, you are the God of heaven. You are holy. You are King of creation. Stand firm. And then they looked over the hill, see the deliverance of the Lord. This is what the Levite promised them. They looked over the hill, dead bodies everywhere. These armies started attacking each other. They were able to literally take up the possessions of the enemy and carry them off as victory. But this amazing thing, and actually, Nikki, I am going to ask you to show one last slide, the final verse of this chapter. If you go back about three or four slides, right here, verse 30, it says, and the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for God had given him rest on every side. So you're telling me that sometimes I don't have to fight the things that are coming at me. All I have to do is worship up. Then I got to step up, take my position, stand firm during it. And even when the storm seems like it's at its worst, guess what? I anchor to that worship and I anchor to community and I anchor to the holy because it's going to ultimately anchor me to victory. And that's when you see the deliverance of the Lord. And then, and right before these verses, in verse 30, it says, they went back to the house of the Lord and they worshiped. So when I say resolve to respond with worship, that is both the reactive position and the proactive position. That is when it's coming at you, but once it's over, you also respond with praise. So if I can encourage you, church, how will you resolve today? I'm going to go ahead and ask the worship team to come back up for a moment. Just stick with me. Stick with me. They're going to be moving. It's okay. You've got the issue. You're quite welcome. And you can thank the Holy Spirit for this one because I literally went away from my notes. Okay? There is a yet in front of you. When all you see is a mountain, God sees the mountain moved. When all you see is the battle, he sees your victory. He knew what was coming before the cross. And even though we had to endure the cross, and even though Christ had to endure the cross, yet, even Jesus prayed it in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's like, God, if there's any chance to take this cup away from me so that I don't have to go through what I'm about to go through, take it. Yet, not your will, but my, not my will, but your will be done. Amen. That should be our prayer, church. So I'm going to have you, when we go back into worship here in a few moments, I'm going to have you consider the yet in your life. Because you're going to have to pay attention this week and shift your words around that situation. Even if you have to go buy a bracelet that says yet. Right? Oh, this always comes up. Yet. Yeah. Let the yet be your yeah. Now, maybe you're here today and you haven't yet, you haven't yet experienced what it is like to know Christ. There's this, talk about meme theology. There's this bumper sticker that used to drive around town, and it was N-O, no Jesus, N-O peace. No Jesus, no peace. Head shaking, right? But then the other half of it said K-N-O-W, no Jesus, K-N-O-W, peace. So no Jesus, you're not going to have no peace. But if you know Jesus, you will know his peace. So if you're here today and you're experiencing no peace, I want you to know Jesus. So right now I'm going to ask everybody to just close your eyes and bow your heads. If that is you today, and you're just saying, I've heard about Jesus for a long time, but I've never made the commitment, I've never done the thing, and you're feeling the tug in your heart that you need something to anchor you. There was a man named Jesus, a God-man, the Son of Heaven, that came down into earth, and he paid a debt that you and I could never repay. By the shedding of his blood on the cross at Calvary, he said, it is accomplished. It is finished. And he paid the debt so that, as I said at the beginning, he could go before us as the forerunner of the resurrected life, and that he could be that anchor for us and pull us toward eternal life. So if that's you today and you want to K-N-O-W, know Jesus and know peace, I'd like you to just raise your hand so I can see it. Nobody else is looking around. I see that hand, my friend. Yeah, see that hand. Here's what we're going to do. We're all going to pray this together. This is commonly known as the sinner's prayer. We do this every week here at NAV. But I just want us to all pray this together. Say, Dear Jesus, I know that I'm adrift without you. I know that I'm lost without you. I want you to save me. Please forgive my sins. Be Lord of my life. Be my God. Amen. Amen. Let's put our hands together for those who said that prayer for the first or maybe second time, you weren't sure. If that was you today, I want to invite you. At the end of the service, we have our Connecting Center. We would love to share that testimony with you. And or you can go back here to your left to our next steps, because here at the church, we want you to find Jesus and we want you to discover your next step. And so we have a booth called Next Steps. Go back there, meet the team there, and just say, hey, I said that prayer. What's next? Amen. One more time. Let's give that up. God's awesome. We just had someone else enter the community of faith. So now we're going to go back into worship for just a little bit more. I'm going to invite you to stand and engage and be a part of it. But as we sing this song, Battle Belongs, here's what I want. I want you to think of the battle. When I asked you to think of what's the thing that you just are saying all the things about, that spirals you continually, right? And I want you during this time, I want you to think, what is the yet? And I want you to worship from the place of the yet. Can we do that, church? So that when it happens, we can literally say, so when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I'll lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs, come on church, to you.
Is the battle, you see my victory, my resolve. When all I see is a mountain,
come on,
you see a mountain.
Almighty fortress, you go before us. break because you're re-anchoring. You may be having a battle within yourself, but we are setting our anchor in hope this morning. So I don't know about you. I'm ready to level up. I'm ready to worship up. I'm ready to get ready for my yet. Yet God. Yet God. Yet God. I'll raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me. I'll raise a hallelujah. I'll watch the darkness flee. Come on, another testimony you're singing. I'll raise a hallelujah. Let me hear you sing it.
Here's why. First thing I'd like to do, could we put our hands together and thank and honor Dallas for bringing the word today? Here's why I'm serious about us being done. Because now you know where you're supposed to get to.
Yes, yes.
So we're done with the exercise. We're done with the practice. We're done with the training today. The next time you're at home and that attack comes,
yes, yes,
and you want to go to your room, cover yourself with a blanket, turn off all the lights and retreat, you turn on worship music till you get here. The next time you're in that relational dysfunction, what word do we want to call it? And the world's falling apart, the marriage is horrible, you're ready to walk out. Rather than taking all your energy to social media, you take this energy to here till you get to this level. Rather than calling your friend and gossiping to this level, you take it to Jesus and you get to worship till you get to this level. This is the practical exercise that we want to demonstrate for you today. When the enemy comes, when the mindset happens, when the failure's upon you, you go to worship till you get this level. And if you say to yourself, I can't get there by myself, you call your friend. And you say, listen, my hand is slipping on the eternal rock at this point. Can I get some help? And let them anchor you until you see your victory come. So the reason we're done today is because now you know the new standard. You know what you're aiming for. And you don't stop until you can say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I stand firm. So Holy Spirit, we thank you for the work that you've done today. We honor the ministers that have made this possible. Now, God, may your face shine upon us. May our anchor not just be secured to the eternal, but in the hand that we're holding. And today, God, we declare yet. We declare yet. In your name we pray. Amen. Here's what I need you to do for the next 30 seconds. And by the way, if you're new to church, this is just weird stuff that we do. Can you just stand around and tell someone around you, he's not done with me yet. He's not done with me yet. Make sure to encourage someone around. Ask them, are you done yet? Is your yet noticeable? Say hi to someone as you're heading out today.